first in the Gospel by John. 10th chapter of John's Gospel. And reading verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The second scripture in the Revelation, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. The final scripture in the Gospel by Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Reading verse 24-24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many I see unto you will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and is shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. I was taught in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know you not, whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Once again, the Lord will bless to us these readings from his precious word. I'd like to talk to you this evening about three doors. Three doors. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, we have the open door of salvation. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The open door of salvation. In Revelation 3:20, we have the closed door of neglect. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And the final scripture, we have the shut door of judgment. The open door of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest preacher that ever walked the planet Earth. But he always spoke in terminology that was easy to understand. He would say, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here again is an example of the simplicity of the word of Christ. I am the door. My dear friend, he is the door to forgiveness. We stand before God guilty. Born in sin, shaven in iniquity, the psalmist could say, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And we must admit before God that we are sinners in his sight. There's none righteous, no, not one. There is none understanding, there is none that seeketh after God. We are all as an unclean thing. But thank God tonight, the good news of salvation is that you can be forgiven of your sins. Happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered, and to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. One time in Canada, conducting a gospel effort, there was a lady, she was a commentator for the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. And at the end of the meeting, she just sat in her seat and she wept, oh my sin, oh my sin, oh my sin. Thank God, she got the burden lifted at Calvary. He is the door to forgiveness. But also, he is the door to fellowship. The greatest fellowship that a person can enjoy is to fellowship, first of all, with divine persons. John said our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And as a good shepherd, he conducts us into a sphere of great fellowship, and to fellowship with God's beloved people. Door to forgiveness, he is the door to a unique fellowship. But also, he is the door to freedom. Men and women are shackled to Satan. We hear much today about liberty, free expression, free will. But in the final analysis, men and women are shackled to Satan. And there is only one person who can break the chains, and that is Jesus. He is the door to freedom. Just 3 months ago, I was in Moncton, New Brunswick, working with my colleague in the gospel, and a friend took us out to a restaurant. A young man came bounding down the restaurant, threw his arms around us, and he wept. I hadn't seen him in 20 years. My mind went back to the day in 1971, when he came into the gospel hall in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada, with a large number of hippies. It was in the days of the hippies. Extraordinary looking people, and dressed very, very strangely, and we just wondered what they would be up to. But they sat in the front pews, listened intently and reverently. At the end of the meeting, the same young man that we saw in the restaurant came up to me and said, "Mr. Dougal, is it possible that Christ can do all these things for me that you've been talking about tonight?" And I said, "If you are willing to come God's way, yes." "Well," he says, "I am a desperate man, and I need help." Well, I said, "Here's the answer in the Word of God." We open up the Scriptures, and step by step, that dear man finally dropped to his knees in a little room, and I will never forget his prayer. He said, "Lord, I am a sinner. Please come into my heart and make me clean." 6 weeks later, he sent me a letter. I have it right here in my Bible. I took it out of my file before I went to Moncton, never expecting to see him. And he signed his letter, "A son of God, Fernie Lejeune." A son of God. I have had thousands of letters in my lifetime, but the only time I ever had a letter signed, never once since, "Son of God." He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. That night he said, "You know," he says, "I tried." He went to college and he flunked out. He said, "I've tried religion." He says, "That's a mess. And I've tried hard drugs. Is it possible that Christ can meet me in all my needs?" Well, he went back to school, got his degree, married his fiancée who got saved that night. He's got a lovely family, and now he's an executive of a large company in Fredericton, New Brunswick. A son of God. He is the door to freedom. In our second scripture, we have the closed door of neglect. "Behold, I, the sovereign Lord, the creator of the universe, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," and oh, what a thrill it is to study the Word of God and hear the expressions, "the voice of the Lord Jesus." You remember that day at the Feast of Tabernacles when the priest went down to the pool of Siloam, taking water from the pool and a fancy ritualistic service out of that expression, "the pool and the water," poured out as an oblation. The Lord saw how empty the whole thing was, and he cried with a loud voice, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his inwards will flow rivers of living water." And men that day heard the voice of the Lord Jesus. And as he hung upon the cross in agonies and blood, they heard him cry with a loud voice, "It is finished." The voice of triumph. And here tonight it's the voice of tenderness, knocking at the heart's door. To think that he would condescend to come down here to knock at the heart's door of a sinner is certainly worthy of all our praise. And if we open up the door, there are inexhaustible and endless blessings for us when Jesus enters in. Oh, to hear that voice. If any man, woman, hear my voice and open the door. Some years ago, a young medical student was going around the countryside in Pennsylvania and in Maryland, and he was selling magazines in order to make some money for his medical expenses as a student. It's a very, very hot day in Maryland, and he knocked at the door, and a very charming young lady entered. And he said, "Would it be possible for you to give me a glass of water? Hot, hot day." She said, "Would you like a glass of milk?" He said, "I'd be very grateful if you would give me a glass of milk. Farmhouse." So the young student got a glass of milk. Now she said, "Would you like a second glass of milk?" He was absolutely overwhelmed. He said, "How is it that you're so kind to strangers?" "Well," she said, "my mum and dad raised us to be kind to strangers." He says, "What is your name?" She says, "My name is Emily." And so he thanked her profusely and he left. Years and years later, he became an outstanding surgeon in the John Hopkins University Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. And this young doctor, now a surgeon, was going round from room to room, examining the patients who had had surgery. And in this particular room, a number of ladies, Dr. Howard Kelly thought he recognized in the corner a young lady by her features. And so he went up to her and he says, "What is your name, my dear?" She said, "My name is Emily." So he remembered the Emily of the farmhouse, but her last name was different from what it was then. She had got married since. But he put the wheels in motion and discovered it was the same girl. So Dr. Howard Kelly immediately got her transferred to a different room, private room. He assigned three nurses round the clock to look after her, toward her recuperation. And then he ordered the best therapy that could be available. And everything he could do to make Emily comfortable was done. So the day of her discharge, she gets the bill. And she almost had a heart attack when she saw the cost of this hospital stay. But further down, she noticed writing. "Paid in full for a glass of milk." My dear friend, let me tell you something. If you open up the heart's door, everything will be paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the debt at Calvary that you and I might go free. And so Emily proved conclusively to open up the door, for her was a great material and physical blessing. We who trust the Lord Jesus Christ, have trusted him in this chapel, can tell you on the authority of God's word, if you hear his voice and open the door, you'll be overwhelmed at the results. Everything paid in full through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll become an heir of God and a joint heir with our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And we can truly say tonight, if I could only tell him as I know him, I am sure that you would make him yours today. But sad to say, that door has been shut by many for many, many years. And that is a tragedy. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. The God that cannot lie. The open door of salvation and the closed door of neglect. But the final section in the Gospel by Luke is one of the most tragic portions of the Word of God, where we have the shut door of judgment. The speaker again is the Lord Jesus, and he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. It demands an initiative. We have to have our priorities right and make sure that we respond to what he says. It costs you something to become a Christian. There has to be the confession of sin before the Holy Spirit and before the Lord Jesus. And Satan does his utmost to detract, to snatch away the seed. And so there has to be a determination by the sinner to respond to his voice. Try to enter in at the straight gate. Some years ago, having meetings in Washington, D.C., a young man was invited to the meetings by his wife, a lovely Christian. But he was not too happy about coming, but finally he came that night. And sometime later, I was back in Washington. And he said to me, he said, you know, I got saved the last time you were here by the word of God on your finger. I says, tell me about it. Well, he said, I came by invitation. My wife invited me to the meeting. And I got a habit of using my finger. And he said, all night your finger was in my face. And he said, I said to myself, I'll never go back again. But the next day, after supper, his wife said to him, she said, Eddie, I would like you to go to the meeting again. Have you got any project? You always had a project going when there were meetings, special meetings. Well, he said, I've not really got any project. Well, she said, would you come with me to the meeting? He said, me and my big man. Yes, he says, I will come. But he said, I was determined that you would never put your finger in my face. So he went to the back pew, on the back seat, and he said, you wouldn't believe it, but all night your finger was in my face. He says, that's the end of that. He's working on the roof, putting down some shingles, and a voice kept saying to him, you've got to go back, you've got to go back, you've got to go back. Well, he says, I'll make sure that he will never put his finger in my face. So he got behind a very stout gentleman, a doctor, and he got right down behind him. And he said, you wouldn't believe it. He said, your finger went round the corner. It wasn't the finger of the preacher. It was the finger of the Holy Spirit. And that night, dear Eddie Schwartzberg came to Christ. He opened up the door. Try to enter in. Make up your mind. The Lord says the day will come when the master of the house, when he's risen up and has shut to the door. My dear friend, Jesus Christ is coming, maybe tonight, and that door will be shut. And it will be shut forever. The Bible says, what God shuts, no man can open. What God opens, no man can shut. Here is a solemn section of the Word. And if Christ should come tonight and you're not saved, you'll be outside the door. I cannot think of anything more tragic than for someone to have listened to the Word of God and are outside. outside the door. My son, our son, was a little boy. It was Christmas Eve, and he suddenly remembered he forgot to get something special for the dog for Christmas. So I accommodated him and took him down to the supermarket, and when he got there, I'll never forget the expression in his face. The door was shut. But fortunately, the manager was inside, and he saw this little lad, and he opened the door. He says, "What do you want, son?" He said, "I want to get something for my dog for Christmas." So the manager very kindly gave him some goodies for his dog. But oh, to be shut outside, and what a look on his face. And when the Lord shuts that door, it will be never open again. And the consternation will be such, there'll be those pounding, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." Here were people, religious propriety. These were not atheists or agnostics. These were religious folks. Religious terminology, "Lord, Lord." And there are those today, and they dress in religious garments, and they pick up the Bible, and they walk down the aisle with their candles, they go through religious motions. Religious people, never been born again. "Lord, Lord, open unto us." He says, "I say unto you, I know you not." You see, friend, it's not enough to know about God or to go through the motions of a religious experience. To get inside that gate, you must be born again. Except the man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's new birth that brings you inside that door. "I know you not." You see, the Lord knows those who are his. "My sheep hear my voice." Religious propriety. They say, "Lord, there must be a mistake. We have eaten and drunk in your presence. We've partaken of the bread and the wine." Many people have had a religious participation. Clean, moral, upright people. But they've never been born again. And it's possible to sing in a choir. It's possible even to preach the Word of God from a Bible. But if you're not born again, there is no entry into heaven. We have eaten and drunk in thy presence. It's possible to partake of the sacraments and never have been saved. Then they said, "There must be something wrong. You taught in our streets." Are you listening, Lord? I have a religious instruction. I can quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I never knew you. I've attended Sunday school, Bible class, I've gone to the seminary, I've got degrees in theology, I never knew you. Religious propriety. Religious participation and religious instruction. I never knew you. But he knows everyone who is in his family. "My sheep hear my voice. And he shall say unto you, when ye are, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." And the moment that door is shut, and they are outside, weeping, gnashing of teeth, when he shall see Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob in, and ye yourselves cast out. Somehow, someway, at the final aside in outer space, and this makes me tremble, the unsaved will see the Christians in glory. We won't see them. God would not allow us the agony of seeing loved ones outside shut out. God's word is so accurate. He will say, do you see that woman up there? To those who are outside, that's the Queen of Sheba. She came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the king, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And you wouldn't cross the streets of Nassau in the Bahamas. So listen to me. There she is. And there's the men of Nineveh up there. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. But you wouldn't listen to me. Shut up. Maybe a mother and a father up there. When ye see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in, and all the prophets, and all the saints, what a tragedy if you will see a loved one up there, maybe a husband, maybe a wife, mother, father, Sunday school teacher. That will add to the confusion. That will add to the pain. Shut up. You'll either be in or out. When ye see that in, and ye yourselves cast out. The shut door. Judgment. I appeal to you, friend, tonight as I close. These are solemn things, but it's possible for that door to be shut tonight forever. I was asked to go and visit a lady in a hospital. By a lady to visit her husband in the hospital. Very fine Christian. But her husband wasn't saved. And she said he's dying with cancer. Went to visit him. Many, many miles from here in the United States. Opened up the scripture. He said, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. I'm going to get out here and I'm going to live it up. We were agonizing. We wouldn't leave until we read and prayed. No, his face was just terrible to look at, but hatred at the word of God. Next day went back to see him. Thought we'd have one more try at him. He said, I told you yesterday I'm not interested. Get out. Not leaving until we read and pray. 6 hours later, he died. And oh, we had the agony of taking his funeral. And as the friends left the casket, I stood with that young widow looking into the face of her husband. She put her arms around him and she wept. She said, Larry, it's too late now. It's too late now. She is in, but he is out. So friends, I close, be kind to your soul. The day of mercy is fast closing. Maybe tonight we'll hear the voice of the Lord Jesus rise up and come away. And you will be left behind, weeping, gnashing of teeth. In the caverns of the lost, when God's people are in with the Lord Jesus. If you're not saved or not sure, why don't you make sure tonight? We can't save you, that's for sure, but we sure know the man who can. We can sit down with you and open up the scriptures, step by step take this to make sure that you are in.